Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Everybody to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. From the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island-chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific, it's freaking beautiful down here, man. Especially when heaps of people are being made homeless and communities are being ripped up and destroyed. You got to love that. All right, caller lines are going to be open for the duration of today because unlike most days, I don't have a guest today. So I'm going to throw the lines open and give you, the listeners, the chance to contribute because, well, basically, most of the time, the listeners to the show are, well, basically, they could wind up being guests themselves, a lot of them. And I'm acting under the assumption that our world, basically, this is our world, not the New World Order's world or anything like that. Our world is in trouble. It's pretty obvious, I know. Sorry for stating the obvious. However, when you're in trouble, often the best thing to do is to try and get out of trouble, right? Or you have to get even deeper in order to solve whatever problem is, in fact, concerning you. So, dig this. I was in Glen Innes last night, and we had some very nice activists and people who are, well, basically, salt-of-the-earth type individuals. If you're in an activist movement or community, as I am, this is not an uncommon occurrence by any stretch of the imagination. Generally, the people who devote themselves to causes of liberty and freedom, regardless of the spectra, tend to be really, really cool. Really, really nice, really hardworking. Basically, the people in society that you would expect to be your community leaders and things of that nature. Instead, they become activists and get shunned by the community for the most part. Yeah. And isn't that the way of things, though? We don't appreciate the people who actually will lead us into a greener pasture, but we'll appreciate the shepherd who will shepherd us right into a slaughterhouse, innit? And we'll have faith in that person, you know, lots of faith. And it's dangerous putting your faith in people, I think. You know, the people as a whole, or any individual, anything like that. as far as I'm concerned, faith, not in the religious sense of the word, I think, let's say I've got faith in myself. Okay. Faith in what part of myself? Is it my higher self? Well, yeah. Okay. I can figure that, well, there's something above me, technically. And it's very, very hard for people like me to reconcile the difference between what my higher self is and who I actually want to be. Because my higher self is far bigger than I am, far more powerful, far more intelligent, stronger, etc. I want to attain that. Okay, I want to grow stronger. I want to grow smarter. I want to have a life that is worth living. And I want to be free. I want to have that freedom last for as long as humanly possible, essentially. Whatever consequence it might be of fighting for freedom and liberty, I'm not overly concerned because I understand that, well, basically, we're all screwed anyway. You have a look at the New World Order agenda, you just look at what's admitted, okay? Just what's admitted. They want to reduce the population massively. They want to eliminate private property. They want to eliminate private transport. They want to eliminate your ability to choose your own healthcare. They want to eliminate every medical practice apart from the mainstream medical practice, which is, statistically speaking, the number one killer on Earth. Number two killer, number one being the government. Okay, just think about that. Those are just the things that are admitted. You'll have no freedom, no liberty, complete surveillance, and that's if you survive. All right. If you survive, you'll be a slave. If you don't survive, you're nothing. You're dead. Okay? You'll be exterminated. You'll just be a pile of skulls in a Cambodian cabinet. That's all you'll be. I don't think that I want to live my life in order to end up like that. Does anybody else want to end up a skull in a display case? No. 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 Are you sure? There'd be lots of other skulls for you to hang out with. You know, this is the stupidity. I mean, like, what's your options here? If you know the New World Order agenda in any way, shape, or form, you know for a fact that you ain't got no choice. Okay? It's like you've got these options. Options, options, options. I could be a rock star. I could be a movie star. Blah, 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 blah. But if I try to pursue those careers, I'll wind up getting exterminated at some point. Or I could try and serve the New World Order agenda, attempt to bathe myself in an air of utter scumbaggery, and try and fulfill their agenda. Well, they'll kill you anyway, especially if you get high up and close to the center, the gooey nugget of scumbaggery. Isn't it? It's not going to work, mate. They'll kill you. They always kill the people that are closest to them. Always. They can't not. This is history. You're either going to get exterminated not working for the New World Order, exterminated working for the New World Order, or you're going to get exterminated fighting against the New World Order. Okay? That sounds really dark. And basically, pretty freaky, right? Well, get over it. You can't ignore reality. Well, actually, you can. Most people do. But you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality. Right? They will come for you eventually. Do you want to meet them in the field of battle? Or do you want them to be in your home? This is the choice you have to make. You either have to leave home, risk everything, and hope that you can accomplish something that'll stop terrible stuff from happening to you or other people. Or you can sit back and be guaranteed that they will come for you, guaranteed that you will lose your freedoms. I would rather die and have a chance at freedom than live forever as a slave. I see the consequence as no, never mind. It doesn't even bear thinking about. It's just instant. I'm sorry. Don't want to be a slave. I don't, it doesn't sit right with me. Okay, that's the reason I can't be employed anymore. Because I'm employophobic, all right? I've invented a condition, just like psychiatrists do. It's called employophobia. I'm phobic about being employed. Panic attacks, etc. Okay, even one of my mates, my best mate, tried to employ me, and I got so flustered and it's the thing. I'm no longer capable of fitting back into the New World Order system in any way, shape, or form. No matter what company is working for, as a truth, your brain doesn't shut off. Everything you see is part of the New World Order agenda. And so, ergo, you notice everything being part of the New World Order agenda. And I force myself to go, you know what, there's no way, okay? Because every single time when I've worked for a New World Order supportive company, or one that's not completely against them, I've been screwed over by the people that have been working there. Regardless of if I did like some of them, or if I had time to myself, or if I had no supervision, or anything like that, you know, I've looked after autistic boys, zero supervision, with no training. And I looked after those boys 10 times better than anybody else did. I actually got to teach them words, phrases, and when previously they were unable to speak. And I was with them for a very short time because nobody else actually cares. They're just sitting there to collect their paycheck and let everybody else suffer around them. I didn't like doing that. I actually tried to accomplish something to help these boys, help these kids, help everybody. That's what I do. I try to help. I may fail, but at least I try. At least I don't sit back and go, I'm just going to be a scumbag. I'm going to accomplish nothing with my life. Right? And I had to quit that job too. Not because I got fired or because they didn't like me or anything like that. It was because I had friends who could help those kids, get them on biomedical diets and various other methodologies of removing the heavy metals and herbology and everything like that, who said that they would actually do this for them for free. Okay, just because I asked them to help these kids, they would do it for free. And you know what these parents said? Oh, we'll think about it. Mate, when you get an opportunity to change your child from being unable to speak, unable to operate in society in any way, shape, or form, and then somebody comes up to you and says, we can actually help, and we're going to do it zero cost. And they say no, essentially. No. There's something deeper going on here. It's the brainwashing and the bad experiences that we all have, isn't it? First caller, you're on the air.
Hello, my name is Michael. I was just inquiring, where would you like to move to avoid the travesties to your freedom?
Well, you know how they call it a new world order? Okay, name me a country that's exempt from that definition.
The furthest away from the big powers, I suppose.
Okay, those countries will still be on the earth. They'll still be part of the world. And there's nowhere you can go. At least this is what I've figured out. Like a lot of people want to come down here to New Zealand. They think that it's far enough away. It's going to be safe or whatever. But there's New World Order jackbooted thugs and New World Order prime sinisters, and we've got a New World Order private federal bank, and we've got the whole deal. And if you want to go to Trinidad and Tobago, I had a listener who was talking to me from there. He says the same thing there. If you want to go to Argentina, the New World Order's already struck there. The World Bank owns all their private police force and their power and everything like that. If you want to go to Australia, they passed carbon taxes, and there's $1.5 million fine if you deny that global warming is something that you should be carbon taxed for. You know, there is no escape. There is only resistance. And I see there's only two ways to victory. Two ways to life, really. you know, you're either going to be coming home in a body bag or coming home victorious. And I think ultimately the battle is at each one of our doorsteps. And we all have to fight it in our own way. I mean, you yourself, I mean, where are you calling from? What part of the states are you in? Caller, are you there? Oh, well, we seem to have lost him. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the number is 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. And also my producer is talking in here. This is also something about New Zealand, and those of which who think that New Zealand's a free country, I've got news for you. New Zealand is now part of NATO, and we got signed up to NATO by John Key, who used to work for the Federal Reserve Bank in New York, with zero consultation with the New Zealand people. So we're now part of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, so they can command all of our troops with zero input from the people. Goldman Sachs is coming to New Zealand to buy off our state assets now. So all our power companies and things like that will be part of the New World Order power generating apparatus all over the place. Right. And my producer as well, who's from California, native Californian, third generation, he is freaked out. And I've spoke to him, and freaked out is actually almost too mild a term. At the speed in which New Zealand is turning into America, that's the real concern, is that we will lose not only our national sovereignty, but our national identities. I feel that we, as patriots, regardless of what country we're in, that's your battleground, and you're much better fighting your enemy on your home turf than running away and fighting them overseas. At least that's how I feel. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Was a thing of the past. I hope I'm going to be jamming a big monkey wrench into the massive machine. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And our caller is still on the line there. Caller, can you hear me? Can you respond? Because if you can't, if you can hear me but not respond, there's often some sorts of glitches with this phone thing, and it happens far more often than I'd like. So the way to solve it, though, is just to quickly hang up the phone and just ring back in, and I'll answer your call again. If you wanted to talk more or ask any more questions, go right ahead. Now, for those of you who are regular listeners, This week I am fully booked, so tomorrow we're going to have Lynn Horowitz and Sherry Kane. They are in fact suing a bunch of real high-level truthers that have defamed them and things of that nature, so we're going to bring them on to talk about their court case. And it was really cute. What was it? Oh, yeah. There was this one time Lenny forgot that he was coming on the show, and he was, like, really, really cut up about it. He was angry. And so now they've got this huge poster taped to the front of their fridge going, "Don't forget Vinny's show again." So funny. And Thursday, for those of you in the United States, we'll be having Mr. Guido, who's going to be coming on to talk about smart meters. I know we had Debbie Kidd on last week or the week before talking about smart meters, but basically you can't talk enough about smart meters. You can't talk enough about any New World Order type system. Okay, that's what I believe. You just can't talk enough about it. And on Friday, Catherine Albrecht, I think, will be coming on the show as well. And then I will be, also on Thursday, earlier, a couple of hours before my show, I'll be going on with Sonia on Truther Girls on American Freedom Radio. This is a Friday for people in New Zealand at about 7 a.m. in the morning, so I'll be getting up pretty early. I don't like doing it, but basically, when people are on the other side of the world, you've got to basically meet them halfway at some point. You know, sacrifice a little bit of something. I mean, it's just a little bit of sleep. I can get some more tomorrow, kind of thing. Which reminds me, the next 2 weeks after this week, I will be off. Okay, off. I ain't going to be answering emails or answering Skype or really doing a whole lot because, basically I haven't had any time off for since basically New Year's Eve, really. I've been working virtually every day for goodness knows how many hours, launching new stuff, you know, like whatever. So I'm going to be taking 2 weeks off. So you will have, conveniently though, some very nice people who will be taking over the reins for me for the 2 weeks. The person we'll be having Sherry Kane and Lynn Horowitz host a show. Karen Testardo from United We Strike. One of the other radio show hosts who's very small at the moment, but she's basically on a very level playing field with me, intellectually, humoristically, if that's even a word, etc., and what have you. Her name's Carrie Lee. She'll be hosting the show on Thursday of that week. Of course, the 4th of July. Friday that week. What am I talking about? Wait a second. It is Thursday that week. Time zones. Oh, my God. It's really interesting being from the future. So, yeah, 4th of July, which will be the 5th of July for those here in New Zealand, there will be a replay running. So you don't have to tune in live or anything like that. But what I've noticed is that even if I listen to a show of mine that I've already listened to, it's like, whoa, my show's really entertaining, okay? Trust me, it's very entertaining, very informative, regardless, even if you've already heard it before. And also on the Friday of next week, Mitch Santel, my producer, will be hosting a show there as well. And then the next week, we will be having Evelyn Gilbert from New Zealand hosting a show on Monday. Freighter and Mater X will be hosting a show. Wendy Adams from Lightwaves Radio. And hopefully Mark Passio and Mike Chambers as well, if I'm very lucky. So there'll be a lot of really cool, nice, intelligent and funny radio show hosts to replace me. I'm not going to organize guests for them or anything like that. Or maybe I will decide to do it at a later date or something like that. But the basic thing of it is, if you really like listening to this show, please support me in some way, shape, or form. You know, I've had people apologize after donating like $50 to me or something and apologize that they haven't donated more. It's like, dude, there's people out there with millions of dollars who don't donate anything who listen to the show, okay? So I'll tell you what, here's how you know if you're doing enough. Are you doing something? Yeah, then you're doing enough. It's just that simple. You contribute in any way, shape, or form to this show, and it is greatly appreciated because I'm doing it anyway, right? I haven't needed a terribly large amount of support in many ways since starting to do this kind of thing in radio and what have you. So regardless of how much people support me, I'm going to keep doing it because there's no real alternative. There really isn't. Not in New Zealand. Anyway, I mean, not for somebody like me. I mean, I'm a creative person. I mean, I should be right up there with whole bunches of people who are real good careers and blah 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 blah. That's all gone for me, man. I can never fit back into that system. It's an unfortunate state of affairs. What I really want to encourage other people to do is start your own shows. Start your own YouTube channels. Okay, that's how I started. Just had a camera, had a computer to edit with, and that's all you need. Okay? You don't need the fancy microphone. You don't need a fancy computer. You just need something that will do the business. And then go out and freaking do it. All right, don't talk about it. Don't plan. Don't try to perfect. Just get out there and do it. If there's some agent of scumbaggery within walking distance, within driving distance, if you are capable of getting there to expose their scumbaggery, ambush them on the side of the street, go to a public meeting and yell at them and tell them they're a filthy, disgusting, slime bag, New World Order trash that's trying to kill and exterminate everybody in humanity, then just go ahead and do it. However, I'll discourage people from being angry and yelling at people because it turns people off and they don't want to listen to you and they see you as crazy. Okay? It's just that simple. Because, you know, truthers are very, we're all really angry people, basically. and some people don't like the word truther or anything like that, but that's fine. You know, whatever label you think suits you best. If you have an RFID sticker or anything like that, hopefully that label will suit you better. all right, we're gonna go to our caller now, anonymous caller. I think that might be the fellow who called in the first break there. Is that you again, mate? Hello? Oh, for goodness sake. All right, well, if you want to... He just hung up. Okay. So you want to call back. Cool. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525 if you want to call in. Now, I wanted to get into the Glenn Innes situation. Now, anybody who's not familiar with Glenn Innes, it's a, central-ish. No, it's not central-ish. It's a kind of an eastern suburb of Auckland sort of thing. You know, like East LA, I think would probably be the equivalent. So you've got a little bit of low-income housing and things of that nature, and you've got war veterans and things like that who had state houses built for them and what have you, and all of that kind of good gravy stuff. Very strong. Sense of community spirit and all that nice stuff that you'd really, really hope for. But here's what the government does. They say, we're going to do a redevelopment project. And basically, it's like this. They come in, they say, we're going to do a redevelopment project. We're going to refurbish these state assets and homes and things of that nature. Now, a lot of people question that, and they go, what do you mean by refurbish? And they go, well, we're just going to improve them, and we're going to make the community better, and it's going to create jobs and do all this kind of stuff. Okay, well, that sounds cool. How many people who were invited to the meetings to actually discuss any of this that actually lived in any of those houses? Oh, yeah. Not a fracking one. And how many people actually went to those meetings and got invited specifically to come here? The pastors, the morai leaders, and the community spokespeople and things of that nature. How many of them got invited there and got given $100? Every single one of them. So get this. Your community leaders get brought in, and now all the pastors and the Māori leaders and things of that nature are saying to people, don't stop these evictions, okay? And it's just like, what word eviction? There was no word whatsoever in any one of these three, four different proposals, which they kept changing every time somebody figured out what was going on. They kept changing the name of it, changing the parameters, changing the... Basically, as soon as you make the ends meet, they just move the ends. And what I was thinking was is it's kind of like that game, you know, where you've got like the three cups and a pea underneath it or something like that, and you switch them around and switch them around and switch them around until basically somebody will be confused with them. They'll say, okay, which one's got the pea underneath it? It's like, oh, well, that one. And then you go, and it's actually got the pea. And then they go, no, that's the wrong pea. I mean, that's basically what it's like. It's all just manipulation and BS and buying in the community leaders and things like that. And guess what? What are their motives? Well, it works like this. You know what a charitable organization is, a non-government organization? Well, if you have gotten government funding, you can very much make yourself some pretty pennies, right? And guess who's going to get 40 homes or something like that out of these 156-something homes which have been there for, near on 50 years? Okay? Near on 50 years has been there, and they're just taking it out, putting these trucks, bringing trucks in, popping the homes onto them, and then selling those homes as complete homes to people elsewhere, and then relocating these people who have established communities and jobs in the area to places, the closest place that anybody seems to have gotten relocated to is about 40 kilometers, not 40, about maybe 25, 30 kilometers away, okay? So let's say you're employed and you're within walking distance to your job, okay? Doesn't cost you anything to get to work, so you get to actually keep all your money that you make, don't you? Imagine you're living 25 kilometers away. Imagine you've got to travel, that's 200 or 100-something kilometers a week? Maybe 200 kilometers a week of travel that you didn't have to do? Okay? You're gonna make that person impoverished. It's pretty straightforward. And, of course, all these big community organizations and NGOs are coming in saying they want to support the community and make everybody all gravy and everything like that. They're going to be the ones who actually wind up with this land and government grants and sponsorship and all of this other stuff, as well as the greedy land developers and things of that nature. It's just a land grab. It's no different to when the British came into Australia and kicked out the Aborigines with zero justification and ripped up everything. Okay? They just wanted to steal. That's what's happening here. And it's very corrupt. Lots of lies told, lots of manipulation, lots of deception, and dirty tactics, and brutal tactics as well. Okay? I've been to many, many protests. Many. I have never seen the police get out their batons and bash people up, throw them off of high places or anything like that. It happened here. It happened here instantly. As soon as they realized that hundreds of people were coming out and they didn't want their communities destroyed, ripped up, sold off to foreign corporation scumbaggery. Oh, mate, we've got to get in there with the batons and the tasers and the big maglite flashlights and beat the living crap out of everybody that will resist our agenda. That's what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and, incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. I've had a very special guest just come on in. It's an anomaly. His name is Paul Vickers, coming at us live from the very late night Uber Kingdom. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hiya, Vinnie, and thank you for letting me on the show.
Well, you know, last minute's kind of what I do, because I've been trying to organise to come on your show for, what have we been trying to do that for, about a week or two now, but I was like, yeah, bugger it, we'll bring you on my show seeing as you're here, so. All right. Well, why don't you tell people about your radio show and yourself?
Okay, well, you were the first guy that I actually wanted to speak to, because you're lively. I listened to you about 3-4 years ago. You were at the beginning of where I am now, and you sure have come along a long way. And I thought maybe Vinnie Eastwood's the guy that could share the experience of being a radio host in the alternative media, because it sure is darn difficult to prepare a show together. It really does take some time. I thought in my former life, I actually got to be a regular DJ, and that was playing music and talking very little. But now, it's talking a lot and playing very little music. And I didn't realize how hard that was. I'm actually part of a group of people now who set up a radio station in the northwest of the UK, in Manchester, called criticalmassradio.co.uk. And 5 weeks in, I'm just starting to appreciate what it is that you do.
Mm-hmm. So Critical Mass Radio, does that mean a lot of the radio show hosts are critical of the masses?
I guess you could see it that way, but I think we're going along the 100 monkey syndrome. It's building up the necessary amount of people to try and make a little bit of difference to this crazy world we live in.
The 100 monkey syndrome, is that kind of a viral reaction that you get from an SV40 vaccination?
Maybe it is. Maybe it is. Who knows? I mean, we live in crazy times. I mean, somebody said, may you live in interesting times, and by golly, we do. At the moment here in the UK, we're completely, the alternative news is completely awash with what's going to happen at our Olympic Games. The paranoid. Something's going to happen for sure. I'm not convinced at all. I mean, if we get prior notification of what's going to happen, it usually doesn't.
Oh, well, I don't know. In the case of 9/11, there were a number of people who said that there's going to be an event and things of that nature, and it certainly did. But again, it does ring true, of course, that if heaps of people are talking about it, if it's really, really out there and everybody's aware of it, then, well, basically, they wouldn't dare go through with it to a degree, depending, because, well, to just be exposed instantly and everybody's prepared for it, and it wouldn't shock anybody.
Well, that is the way it seems to me. I mean, they do. I see where we are today is, I call the people in the alternative truth movement, and this is not a nasty thing to say, I call them nuclear reactors, because that's what we are. They perform the acts, they show us their show, they perform the performance, and we sit in the front row, dissecting every word, and react accordingly. And I don't think that's going to be good for us in the long run.
You know, you might be right. So let's get into bits of advice and things like that. So as a radio show host, I mean, you're only just starting to get into this. What have you found is kind of difficult or hard to organise?
I think the hardest thing is to actually put your thoughts into words in a way that you can share with people that actually makes sense. In your head, it's no problem at all. And with your little select band of musketeers, which I've only got two, so there is three of us, although why they were called musketeers, I don't know, because they actually had swords. Anyway, I digress. But when you're sharing with your friends who you're comfortable with how you're feeling and what you're thinking and what you're seeing, it's easy. But when you're sat in a room on your own, talking to a screen, that sure is difficult.
It can be, to a degree, and it comes with a lot of experience and talking to lots of people. Like, do you go out and you do street activism, or is it strictly through the internet at this point?
Well, I've got to say that I actually have a fish and chip shop here in the UK. You may well know what fish and chips are in New Zealand. Maybe you've got the shops of your own. I'm not sure about that.
Oh, yeah. We share a lot of that English culture.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well,
and we have an obese population too, so we love our fish and chips.
Looking back, I've actually practiced on all my customers. It's actually quite embarrassing to say that I've practiced on them all. I actually remember four or five years ago, and I call it the you don't own your car, you know, syndrome. It's that time. And I remember thinking, how arrogant and silly did I look? But it's part of the journey, isn't it?
Mm. Well, every person that you talk to basically is another experience that adds on. And I have a mate, Wiri, down in Hamilton, and how he practiced a lot of his talking, he's got a radio show too, is he's a cab driver. And every time somebody gets into his cab, he'll give them a Zeitgeist DVD and he'll talk to them until they reach their destination and that kind of thing. So being in front of people all the time, and particularly being your own boss, so that your boss won't come down and say to you, look, stop telling the customers 9/11 was an inside job. Stop telling them there's vaccines in the food that you're serving them. You know, that kind of thing. So if you've got nobody else watching you and popping you down and whatever, you can talk about whatever you like, and that's basically the best experience. The other part of it is talking to people who are officials and talking to high-level people in the so-called truth movement and things like that. That also really helps to prepare you, embolden you, and you get more experience. And with experience comes confidence. And if you've got a lot of experience, a lot of talking, okay, going on in your daily life or with people who really inspire you in general, you'll be able to talk for like 2 hours at a stretch and not run out of a thing to say. That may change later on, however, because apparently some radio show hosts, when they get a little bit older or a few years have passed or something like that, they suddenly run out of things to say. Whereas I mostly talk about scumbaggery, so I don't think I'm ever going to run out of things to say.
I think you will, if nothing else, I think you'll take credit for inventing the word scumbaggery, because it is shared here in the UK, Vinnie Eastwood and scumbaggery, which is not a good association for the name. I understand that, but I'm afraid you do have it. It is, when I said that I'm pestering Vinnie to be on my show, or at least to do a little bit of recorded time, everybody said, Mr. Scumbaggery, and... whatever you're doing, Vinny, it's good or bad, whichever way you want to take it.
Well, you know, I like scumbaggery because it's entertaining for me. it's just like, you know, it's fun, and that's another thing. And I think that was probably another part, is that you got to really listen to your mentors and people who are experienced, who have been in the game for a long time, and that's how you kind of gain your experience much faster, essentially, as if you just usurp and copy and cut and paste the experience of people around you. Like Danny Romero, for instance, very experienced in terms of radio and the Patriot movement here in the United States. He's produced big people and given some big people their first radio shows and things like that, and he gave one to me, and there's only one rule that he commanded of me, and that was have fun. And I find that if you bring people on, particularly activists and things like that, who generally have a awful lot of terrible things that they see and experience in their daily lives, just doing what they do, exposing scumbaggery as they do, the real crux of the issue comes that, well, basically all those people need some time out, and a place to chill and relax and things like that. And I feel that I'm trying to kind of combine that hardworking activist attitude persona with simply having fun. And I kind of try, it's sort of like a refuge, you know, how you have men's refuge, women. Oh, no, there's no such thing as a men's refuge, but there's only women's refuge. But I mean, this show, I kind of think of it as activist refuge, you know. I mean, if society refuses you, I'll give you some refuge, you know. And it's when you try to do things for other people, they wind up showing up for you, kind of thing. And that's probably some of my best advice that I could ever really give anybody is do as much as you can for other people as often as you can, and other people will show up for you. And basically, if you're supported for the vast term of your life and what have you by other people, you will go very, very fast. So we're coming to break now. There's another part of being a radio show host. When you hear the music in your ears, make sure that you're on the road to wrapping up whatever it is that you're saying, so you don't kind of get cut off in mid-sent. No, I'm just joking. All right, Paul Vickers is my guest from Critical Mass Radio, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. The number is 218-339-8525, 218-339-8525. You can call in and talk about whatever the heck you want, because we're all here to just have fun, be a little bit of truth or refuge. Back in a minute. Musketeering, as opposed to orienteering. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. My special guest is a new radio show host from Critical Mass Radio in Manchester in the United Kingdom, or the Uber Kingdom, as I like to call it, because it's under the Saxe-Coburg-Gotha Regiment regime, sorry. Oh, yeah, that's right. You're supposed to call every government you don't like a regime. So... The New Zealand regime, along with the Uber Kingdom regime and the unfortunate States of Affairs regime, that's USA, are all working together to basically destroy everything that anybody ever cares about whatsoever. Now, if you want to know what to talk about, if you want to know how to talk or anything like that, it's all a matter of experience. So, Paul, I was just wondering, how many documentaries have you watched? Would you say... huge quantities of them.
I remember the early days. The early days go a little bit like this for me. And that is that when you finally discover that this reality is a little bit fake, you get onto YouTube and you become a loner. And you can't sleep. And when you do sleep, you don't sleep for long, because you're getting back up at 4 o'clock in the morning to watch some more. And you think... there's a knock going to come on the door and they're going to drag you away to the crazy house. It takes about 6 to 9 months to get over that.
It really does. Well, in fact, I never went through that per se, but the lack of sleep and the watching stuff constantly is like downloading material into your brain. I certainly can compete with that. I think in the first 6 months since I started founding out about the New World Order, while I was working, I was watching a minimum of 2 documentaries a day, maximum of 4. So it got to the point where I was consuming about maybe between 3 and 9 hours of research material that other people had prepared and put information on. And it came to the point where I was like, man, I've watched like well over 150 documentaries on a whole bunch of different subjects in such a short time. Oh, my God. You know, doing this in a manner of months sort of thing. So you get a geometric increase in your knowledge and your awareness about stuff. And that really helps you as a radio show host, because that way you can bring on guests about any topic whatsoever and you'll know a little bit about it at least, or enough to carry a conversation with. I mean, like, let's say you're talking about somebody with who's a nuclear physicist or something like that, and you never watched anything about to do with nuclear physics. You can't carry on the conversation. You're just going to ask him, can you just keep talking, because I don't know what questions to ask because I don't know the topic or anything. You know, which is why diversity in the subjects that you consume is also very important, or at least to me it has been. You know, like there's spiritual aspects, there's physical aspects, and there's intellectual aspects, philosophy, Satanism, the occult, 9/11 and 7/7 and so on and so forth. There's so many different topics, really.
Well, sorry,
go ahead.
Well, political science was the first thing that sort of got me, really. I don't know why, but it did. I looked at the politicians and I thought, these are the guys that used to stay in at playtime. These are the guys that they weren't very good at football. They didn't get the best girls. In fact, they were more keen on joining the chess club so they could get lunch early. And that's how politicians have looked to me for a long time. In fact, I think most people might sort of agree to some extent. They're not capable of doing anything. They've actually realised that they can't make anything. They can't invent anything. They don't build or provide. So they figured, okay, what we need to do here is learn as much as we can so we can sit the other side of the fence and employ the bullies to keep the rest in line. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does make sense. Well, I think I see politicians in a light like brown noses. You know what I'm talking about, the teacher's pets, etc. That's what you're talking about, isn't it?
You know, maybe I should have said that then. The head boy, the head girl, the deputy head, the ones that were the best at copy and pasting. You used the term earlier, and I used the same term as well. This is a copy, paste, and repeat type reality, where if you say to people, do you know what an independent thought is? They'll actually struggle because say, well, describe what an independent thought is. And I've found through trying that people don't actually have the ability to describe an independent thought. Everything they have has been downloaded to them. And the way they decode what reality is depends on what programs they've got in there. And all programs they've got in there have been provided by the reality that they're creating.
Okay, so let's think about your reality that you're creating with your radio show. I mean, do you have a goal in mind or people that you want to interview, things of that nature?
A goal in mind is just to actually someone to say thanks very much for helping. There's no fee, there's no charge. I don't want fame or fortune or recognition. In fact, that would be so embarrassing, I would hate it. But it's mixing with like-minded people that keeps the sanity going. We look around at the world we live in, and the majority of the population are enjoying, to some extent, although they shouldn't be, but they do seem to enjoy it, the reality they have. And it's not my job to wake them up. I used to think it was, actually. I used to think it was my job that 5 minutes after watching a YouTube video, I had to go and tell people what they needed to know. I've learned a little bit more than that now. That's not exactly what my job is. My job is to learn to be attractive by speaking in such a way that people say, well, what have you just said there? That's interesting. So learning to teach is something that I didn't realize I had to learn to do in the initial stages, but now I know I've got to learn to teach. Preaching's no good. It sounds like religion. Teaching's fun. Now I just need to learn how to do it.
Yeah, I think that's right. And part of being a teacher is actually being a learner. Let's say you've got a classroom of 30 kids. It means that those 30 kids can learn one thing off you, and you can learn 30. And you can learn 30 things. You know, it's not the it's not that you're the teacher and everything like that. Every teacher is also a good teacher is a good student. In other words, a good teacher questions and has their own ideas and thinks and that kind of thing. And what people forget, I think, is the importance of being self-taught. And that's what being a real good student is, basically, as far as I'm concerned. Because if you're a student of history, a student of the world, or a student from the University of Gaetanshidan, which is a small town in China, you can, of course, think to yourself, wait, hold on a second. I never needed a teacher in the first place, did I? There's all this material out there. There's all these people that have already done all these speeches, made all these documentaries, done all this kind of stuff. Now the world is my classroom, and everybody's my teacher, and I'm simply the one that's guiding myself through this, right? Now, in terms of who you want to learn off, on the other hand, it's really inspirational. I can tell you, to if you've got heaps of heroes or anything like that in this movement or any other, trust me, contact them through their websites, right? And most of the time, they will respond. And that was what I found was very interesting, is that a lot of the big movements, movers and shakers in the truth movement are actually still incredibly down to earth. And easy to find, easy to contact, and easy to bring on your show, no matter how small your show is. You know, there's a lot, basically. And so if you make a list, this is what I did early on in the piece. I made a list of everybody that I knew the name of in the truth movement. Like, you know how some people have got recognizable names? You know, you watch names of documentaries and there'll be that comment from that person. And it's like, oh, hold on a second, I remember that name. You write down all those names. And then you Google all of those names just one at a time. And then you send emails out through their contact pages on their websites. And sooner or later, you will have a huge back catalogue of all these incredibly famous, incredibly influential truthers that you've gotten to interview, talk to, and get their thoughts specifically to be your teacher for the day, that kind of thing. And that's what I encourage every new radio show host to do, is try to bat above your weight. Don't think, oh, they're too big, they don't care about me or anything like that. Trust me, 99% of the people in this movement, no matter what their field of research is not in it for the money, is not in it for the fame. They're actually in it to serve humanity. And if you still have a heartbeat, and if you're trying to serve humanity as well, they will show up for you, as they have shown up for me.
You're absolutely right. I've just reached that stage over the past sort of week and a half, and that was by means of contacting you, because you are somebody that I can appreciate your journey, because I heard you 3 or 4 years ago on YouTube doing what you do now, and doing what you do now was good then. But now you're better, I can see, and I can understand why you're better now. I didn't have that before. I heard Vinnie Eastwood, and I heard the fun, entertaining type guys, guy who was basically talking about, you know, the world's going to end, but let's at least, let's decode it and have fun while we're getting there. But now you've moved on quite a little bit, and it's coming back to listening to you about, I took a long time off YouTube, it was, I found the books were better for me. I listened to what my mentors were saying, and I found the books were much more interesting for me. And I came back to YouTube only a little while ago, really. Looked you up, and I thought, wow, you really have. Whatever you've done, whatever journey you've taken, we've gone a different way, but landed at the same place. And now I need to learn to do what you're doing. And I thought, I'm just going to email him. I'm just going to... And it was, you were my first contact, and you replied positively, and it's given me such an exciting ride. I've actually got a guest that we recognise here in the UK for the next 7-8 weeks.
Yep. And that's another thing about, basically, radio show hosts are virtually prostitutes. I know, because I'm a radio show host. So you go up to any radio show host at any point, and you ask them to come on my radio show to give you some pre-promo, it's like, oh, ego stroke, yes, I'll come. And it's not that hard to convince them. You know, and that's another thing. If you want to be a good radio show host, invite other radio show hosts that you think are better than you or that you really admire or want to want to emulate or be like, or something like that. I've had countless radio show hosts on this program, and as a result, I've usurped their skill.
Absolutely. I mean, again, you see, you're telling me what I'm learning, and it's great to talk to you right now. I've actually called today the Bank of England here in the UK. I actually called them and said that I am a radio host and I want to do a future show on how banks work. And I'm looking forward to presenting the banks in a good light, because I want banks to teach us how they work so we can appreciate the good work they do in our community. I don't mean any of that really, but what I got from the Bank of England was a very positive response from the press office that said, if that's what you want to do, we'll have a chat and we'll find someone who'll call you back tomorrow and we'll record a live interview that you can use. I'm learning all the time. I know what the banks really do, but I'm finding to speak to them in a certain way. You just ask the questions, and the question's simple. How do banks work? And the Bank of England have promised me to phone me back tomorrow and tell me how banks work. It's great fun.
I had a guy named Branko Milanovic, who's like one of the he's a World Bank lead researcher or analyst or something like that, and I asked him would he come on the show, and he did. And here's another thing: don't invite people on your show and be angry with them or upset with them or anything. It doesn't matter who you've got on your show. Doesn't matter how bad their scumbaggery might be. All right. What you do is, well, at least this is what I do. I bring people on the show just so that they can have a good time, and that's it. And then if people abuse me for bringing on those people or anything like that, I'll bring those people on who abused me for bringing that person on so that they can tell their side of the story about that person and give them a fun time. So that way, you never have any real conflict on the show. Everybody gets along, and I think that's called open dialogue. Isn't that the thing that we're really trying to strive for here?
Isn't our language designed to make us fight? Isn't everything? I mean, the word hello, taken apart in Latin, the word hell is war, and bell is war, and we say hell's bells, because in Latin that means two types of war. Our language is designed, it's less than 350 years old, what we're using today. And a lot of people don't realise that. Without looking, lots of people would say we've been talking like this for hundreds, if not thousands of years. But it's not true. It's not true. 330 years we've been talking this language, and it's been modernising as we go. And there's nothing wrong with that, except that as we modernise this language, we lose its connection to the reality that we used to live in. It becomes nothing more than, we say these words because things happen when we say them. But unfortunately, we don't control who makes the words. And therefore, we never understand the words control us.
Yeah, it's kind of like awareness is not a two-dimensional thing. It's a three-dimensional thing. And you've got to basically have a look at it like this. I'm one dot in the middle. Let's say it's kind of like a nuclear cell or an atom, if you will. So I'm the dot in the middle, and there's all this stuff like protons and electrons flying around me and all of that kind of stuff, okay? They're the things that create my worldview. If you change the things that are rotating around you, but you remain the nucleus the same, the whole atom actually changes, and it's not the same thing anymore. It can bond stronger to other substances with even slight changes. And I think that this is basically what being an activist is really about, is attempting to find ways of changing the way you are so that you can improve and become stronger, smarter, harder, faster, etc., whatever pornographic sort of parlance there is, you know, that kind of thing. But other than that, we're going to break, ladies and gentlemen. So check us out at the chat room at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. After the show each day, we have a good, nice little show chat going down on Skype. So if you want to hang out with 10, 15, 20 other people who think like you, then join us in the chat room and we'll connect you via Skype at the end of the show. We'll be right back after this.
People wherever you roam, and admit that the around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving.
Speaking of drenched to the bone, ladies and gentlemen, this is a classic Facebook update from Thomas Sheridan, an expert on psychopaths. He said, I uploaded a... let me see if I can do his accent. I uploaded a photo of my willy to Which Celeb Do I Look Like? And it gave me back the Bishop of Galway. Oh, my God. And it's funny. It does look like the Bishop of Galway. Now, Paul Vickers is my guest. I'm sorry. I think that was below the belt.
of course. Thomas Sheridan. Where did you get the name Thomas Sheridan from? I had him on my show Sunday.
Oh, right. Yeah. And Thomas and me get along great, you know. Psychopathy. It's hilarious. Of course. Now, I was wanting to give you a little bit more advice about anything else you've got, because we've only got like two more segments left in it. And also, the caller lines are still open, ladies and gentlemen. So if you are a budding radio show host or wanting to start into it and you want some advice or anything like that, please call in, okay? My time's not that valuable, contrary to popular belief. And believe me, I derive a lot more value from my time talking to people I don't already know and helping them in any way that I can, all right? That's more enjoyable for me and more valuable for me than in a lot of cases going out and filming and getting paid for it, you know, sort of thing, because I'm actually helping other people in a way that I wasn't helped in a lot of ways. You know, I really have had to slog pretty hard in order to be where I am. And I've had people say, oh, I wonder what Vinny had to sacrifice in order to get that radio show. Anybody who gets big enough must be an agent of the New World Order or anything like that. Well, mate, trust me, I had to sacrifice everything. Everything, basically. My life is not the same. My life is nothing like what it was. My last paycheck, for instance, was, this is in 1 month, $4,000 cash, and $11,900 worth of shopping vouchers as a bonus. That was my last paycheck. I could still be earning that, and I could have earned that every single month, but I sacrificed that so I could be here helping other people who deal with the same kind of crap that I had to, so that I can actually make a difference in this world. I'd rather make a difference for a lot more people than just myself. My own economic situation is of little consequence, essentially, because whether I'm broke or rich, I'm still the same person. But if I focused all my time on getting rich instead of becoming somebody who feels wealthy in my head and my heart with my friends, if I had instead focused on something else, I'd be a radically different person, a person who I wouldn't like, doing a career that I didn't. That didn't inspire me, that kind of thing. And I hope everybody comes to that realization before it's too late. And my opinion is it's never too late. It's never too late. Just like it's never too late to apologize.
It's always darkest before the dawn.
Yeah. So anything else, questions or anything, Paul?
Not so much questions, really. I'm starting to feel a little bit like the suit fits and the seat's comfortable. I guess presenting style is sort of it's something that you develop on your own, really. Your style is your style, and what makes you unique. I guess really, I'm still learning to let the guests speak, but somehow steer it the way I want to go, and that is a skill that I think is going to take some time to learn. I listened to the early stuff that I think we all hear is Mr. Jordan Maxwell. I know you've had him on the show. In fact, I think online you're the last show he's done, or the most recent show he's done. And I do like listening to Jordan. I'm sure people have got their opinions. I don't care what they are. Jordan shares some jolly fine information, and he tells us that the language is something that perhaps we sort of discard. We don't pay attention to it enough. And he tells us, remember in the early days when the ship and the birthing thing and the birth certificate and all that sort of connection, everyone thinks, oh, that's nuts, that can't be true. But the one thing Jordan doesn't do, he doesn't take the language a little bit further, because we know ships are females and we know females can birth, but he never includes the next words. What a ship has inside is seamen. And what seamen call themselves are shipmates. And the seamen have to mate with the ship so that she may birth. He misses that little bit. We're sat online now. I mean, I believe we live in Waterworld, actually. We're sat online now, taking small bites or big bites, depending if you're downloading, surfing around in their net. If you look in front of your computer, if you want to go online or on board, as it were, you need to get to the key. And the key is the place that you board. And I'm looking now at a keyboard. We do live in a water world, but we haven't quite decoded it properly.
Well, you know, we live under maritime law, and that's all well and good. I was just thinking about, you said you're wondering how to get your guests to go where you want them to go. I find it's... Well, the start and the finishing questions of my show are generally the same. Is firstly, tell us who you are and what it is you do, because 90% of the time I don't know who these people are. Okay, like I don't know who you are, Paul. I haven't listened to one of your radio shows or anything like that. So the idea for me is to bring people on, ask them who they are and what they do, and they'll explain it to you. Then you've got something to work with. Then you've got any number of directions where you can take the conversation, right? Now, it depends whether or not you want to take the conversation and make it about the topic that person is discussing, or the person themselves, or how much it relates to you and what your own ideas are and this kind of thing. And some radio show hosts will consistently interrupt their guests because they're utterly uninterested in who their guest is as a person. They just want information, and they tell you, I want you to tell me specifically, etc. Like they'll interrupt them in the middle of something very important that they're saying, but because that radio show host doesn't want to hear that and they want to go in a different direction, they're not listening, and they interrupt and they try to make it go in a different direction. Whereas I'm kind of like more free flow. If something is relating to it, like I'm a scatterbrain type of person. That means that A1, my concentration is not very good. But two, it means that I've got a million different references floating around in my head. And every single time when I'm having a conversation with somebody, one of those bits of information will come downloaded and come out of my mouth or something like that. And I find that it always fits perfectly. Whenever you're trying to go with your guest, as opposed to trying to make your guest go with you, I think everything flows far more harmoniously, or at least that's been my experience.
I think maybe it's just a learning curve that I'm going through now, which is the guests are always sort of specialists in their subject. And I guess maybe what I'm trying to say in a backwards way is that don't leave me behind. Let me keep up. So if I can sort of steer at the speed that I want you to go, then I can keep up. I guess that's probably what I'm saying.
Yeah. And it's another thing. Do you want to be able to keep up with people, or do you want, or what's the exact purpose to it? And again, finding purpose in what you do is very important. So like I find my purpose is kind of like the comic relief of the truth movement. Sort of thing. Like I'm the Jar Jar Binks of the truth movement kind of thing. And, If there is anything that I'm worried about, concerned about, or things of that nature, I now have a huge resource of catalogue of all these people that I've listened to, interviewed, etc., who basically at any point will show up for me. So if I'm feeling down in the dumps or whatever, I'll just mention it on my radio show, and then boom, I'll get like about 5-10 messages from my listeners or something going, Vinny, I hope you're okay, you know, chill out, man, I'll send you some of this nice aloe vera product or something like that, or here's a good necklace or something. You know, it's like basically as a radio show host, what you don't say doesn't get heard. So if you're feeling bad or something like that, or if you need help or something of that nature, trust me, use your radio show to ask for that help at every conceivable opportunity, and people will show up for you. If they enjoy your show, if they appreciate you, they do show up for you. But the thing is, you have to ask. And as patriots and things like that, we're often people who sacrifice and don't want to ask for anything. But the fact of the matter is, if you go through wanting to do things, and never get anything back, you will burn yourself out, lose your motivation, stop appreciating those people that you're doing it for, and amount to nothing. And it's happened to so many people in the movement that I've seen, from radio show hosts, activists, things of that nature, who start to believe that they're not making a difference, that it doesn't matter, and that they should be just going back to being a slave, because at least then they'll be able to pay the rent, right? As opposed to what I do is, when I'm in deep crap, I don't have the option of going back to work, because I can't. You know, I've come too far. I'm 6'4". I'm too big to fail. So I beg, plead, and get down on my knees for all the listeners and everything like that to come and help me, because I need their help to continue doing what I'm doing. Just to stay at a level playing field requires me to ask for help. And my humility and the kind of abashed, I don't feel comfortable asking people for money or anything like that. Just think about this. If somebody was to pay me, okay, to do a similar job that I'm doing now, like let's say, for instance, I was a mainstream radio host and talking about mainstream topics, lying to people all day long and accomplishing nothing for the movement, I would feel very ashamed about asking for money, because I've been getting paid $100,000 a year to do that BS. I'm getting paid nothing, and I'm doing more for the Truth Movement of New Zealand than every single other YouTube channel, radio show, and anything else combined for New Zealand. Okay, there is nobody else like me in this country. Nobody else who even comes close to being a 1/1,000th of the size that I have made myself become. 99% of that is due to support from listeners and the guests and things of that nature. The rest of that 1% is just me making sure that I'm doing the work all day, every day, and remaining consistent. If you remain consistent for a long period of time, you gain a track record. So if somebody tells you you're a New World Order shill, you're a this, that, or the other, you can say, well, actually, here's a list of things that I've done just today. What have you done today? Oh, yeah, that's right. Your list of things is like that small. It's tiny. You know, you've done nothing. I do more for a day in the Truth Movement than a lot of people who are activists will do in a year, and that's quite literally true. You know, think about the amount of minutes of content. Some people will make like 2 or 3 YouTube videos in a year that are about 3 or 4 minutes long. I do an hour and a half YouTube video of the radio show a day, 2 hours on the air a day. Audio-free, ad-free archives every day. A short clip from the show each day. If you have something that you're doing on a consistent basis, you wind up making a catalogue very, very, very big, very, very quickly. And the trick is just to sit there and keep doing the work, making it consistent. And you can't rely on anybody else to do any of that for you. You know, I clean the house. I do the camera work. I set up the lighting. I do the microphones. I do the downloading. I do the editing. I do the uploading. I do the hosting. I do the producing. I do the organizing. I do everything, literally everything. Because I know that if I don't do it, nobody else will do it for me. That's why I find it real funny when people come and ask me, you know, Vinny, could you hire me? or Vinny, is there any kind of paying jobs in the Truth Movement? It's just like, dude, can I ask you something? Can you show me one person who makes a killing off of telling the truth? No, not really. Can you see on the reverse angle how many people make a hell of a lot of money of shilling BS for a living? Everybody, okay? You're not in that world anymore. Wake up. It's personal responsibility time, baby. You ain't going to get no money. You ain't going to get no support. It's you and only you. You've got to bust your hump to get where you want to be. I want to not be exterminated. I think that's a pretty reasonable request. But it means that I have to sacrifice every minute of every day fighting against the people who will kill me eventually.
Yeah, I'm learning what you're saying. I know what you're saying is true. It's starting to make sense to me that the money goes... Once the money is left behind for the illusion that it is, you realize that life is what you are. The only thing that you really own is what you are and what you're going to be remembered by. There is nothing else.
There isn't. And ultimately, once you learn about the truth movement and once you learn that the money is all fake and worthless or anything like that, what makes you think that trying to go find an income from the truth movement is going to work? It's not going to work because the money has no value in the first place anyway, so you've lost your motivation to make it in the first place. And if you don't have no motivation, you ain't got nothing. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We'll be right back. Exposing scumbaggery and all those motherfuckers that work for John Key. Oh yeah, I'm gonna point a camera at their little weasel face. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts. Now, dropping out. Anybody who dropped out of college or university, as the case would be in the rest of the world, I'm a university dropout, okay? I didn't drop out of university because the work was too hard. I dropped out because the work didn't make any sense. It was irrelevant. It didn't actually advance me in any way, shape, or form. So I got out of there. And some people would put that down to me not trying hard enough to put it in there. It's like not trying hard enough to get a couple of extra $1,000 in debt in order to learn some BS that some crackpot came up with like 10 years ago, 100 years ago or whatever. It doesn't make any sense or whatever, and is designed to brainwash you into being a completely manipulated slave that's serving the entire system. Come on, people. I'm really, really sick and tired of people whinging and whining about, oh, my poor situation, I'm screwed, the New World Order is going to exterminate me, they're taxing me, they're making me pay a death grip mortgage and all that kind of stuff. Look, mate, everybody's in the same situation. Fracked. Okay? And the best that you can hope for, at least, you know, a minimum hope, is to survive. Okay, and I'm thinking that in the truth movement, as a radio show host or anything like that, survival's a very different beast altogether, because not only do you have to just remain alive, but you also have to remain motivated, you have to remain consistent. There's an awful lot of things that you really do have to accomplish in order to remain here, okay? Like the first 9 months of my show, I had a co-host, my good friend from New Zealand 9/11 Truth, Will Ryan, and occasionally he'd show up late. He never organized a single guest in the whole of the 9 months. And after 9 months, he asked me, you know, Vinny, I need to, I can't keep doing this. So I want to be paid. Okay. I want $400 a month just to cover my costs and everything like that. This is at a time in which everybody, including the studio, including the affiliates, including the radio stations, including me, and including my missus, and everybody, and including the producer, and everybody is broke. We don't have any money. There is no money in the truth movement. Okay? If you want money, don't go in the truth movement. It's just that simple. Okay? Best you can hope for is simply to have enough to survive. And that's all that I really want. Okay? Out of the listeners and donations and things like that. I just want to be able to survive so I can keep doing this, because it's a hell of a lot of fun and I actually help people. I really do help people. I get feedback all day, every day about people saying how I inspire them, how I've taught them something, how great the interview was with any particular guest that they've talked to for that they've been listening to for goodness knows how long, and they never heard them say the things that they've heard them say on my show. Okay, and it's part of the format that I do it in. So if you want to support me, ladies and gentlemen, easiest way, go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. On the homepage there's a donate button and a subscribe button. The difference between them is if you want to donate a specific amount, just click the donate button. You can give me $5, $10, $10, $20. $10,000 would be nice, you know, because then I can just sit back and no stress whatsoever about whether or not my bills are getting paid and just go hard, man, and get some badass equipment and stuff like that. Like in the last couple of days, for instance, some of the donations I've received from the listeners, I've gotten these two big light panels and a little LED light panel as well. I've gotten a shoulder mounted hands free kind of tripod for my camera, so that when I'm walking around at a protest, I can hold a megaphone in one hand and DVDs in the other to hand people out things while I'm recording myself, that kind of thing. All of which done through the donations of listeners. Every single time when you get appreciated by your listeners or anything like that, you have to do justice to them, okay? If they give you something, make sure that you make it worth it, okay? Because if people are coming out to support you, you need to make sure that you're there for them as well. Otherwise, their support is basically not earned, okay? This is what I don't like about some realities that we have to live in, is that as a radio show host, you got more people listening to you than you have time to listen to them. So, for example, can I speak to the 10,000 people listening to me right now? No, it's impossible. Even if I tried, I'd basically spend all my time talking to everybody. However, if I don't take the initiative to go and call them or anything like that, and I invite people to come and speak to me, and you can at any point. You want to talk to me? Send me an email through the show and just say, hey, Vinny, I'd love to have a chat with you across Skype. I go, yeah, why not? If you have the guts to ask, I'm more than happy to oblige, because there's been so many people that I've asked to come talk to me, massive radio show hosts, massive guests, etc. I offered them nothing in return other than a conversation, and they still said yes, okay? Because they want to do things for other people, you know? My concern is that I'll at some point become some kind of a, I don't know, what do you think the word would it be, Paul? Too full of myself, or think that I'm better than everybody else? You know, that kind of, that's my greatest fear, to tell you the truth, that I'll stop being the cool, nice, caring, generous person that I am and start thinking that I'm worth more than other people. I don't think that that's something that I am. I'm not worth more or less than anybody else. Everybody's got value in and of themselves. And the thing is, I value myself. That doesn't mean I'm arrogant. That doesn't mean I think I'm better than anybody else. It just means that I respect and love myself enough to know who I am and how important it is to keep doing what I'm doing.
It surely is difficult to get that over to people. I know what you're saying, although I can't appreciate fully how it feels for you. But it is difficult to speak to somebody who's perhaps not sleeping, because I don't like the word sleeping. It seems to indicate somebody who isn't. But when you speak to a normal member of the public who really doesn't need to know what we know, or at least they don't feel they need to know, you do have to fight the, I know something you don't know, but I need to share it with you so you know it. Because I did that in the early days and made a real fool of myself, as I've mentioned before. There's a time for everybody. And that time is when they say it is. It's not when you say it is. It's when they say it is. It's the old half a glass of water thing, isn't it? You just give them a sentence or two and they'll come back if they're thirsty. But I know what you're saying. Sometimes when you hear people speak and you know that they're wrong, you've got to let them be wrong. You've got to let them speak and say it. And if you feel confident enough to say, it maybe could be this instead, or that could be not true, then do so. But if you're not confident to do that, leave them alone.
Yeah, exactly. On the points you agree, come together and collaborate. The points that you disagree, if you focus only on those, you're never going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a real strong case that there are some people that you shouldn't try and wake up. They're not going to be able to cope with this reality. So leave them alone, because they will still be behind you. It just depends where the biggest group is at the time that they make their choices.
Yeah.
That's how it seems to me.
Well, this information is very damaging to people's psyche, and that's what you forget, is that if you're trying to wake people up, you're doing it out of love, and you want that person to wake up, you want them to not be a slave, you want them to be cool, but you're doing it by stabbing them in the eye with a sword. Okay, that's the thing. It doesn't work. So the obvious question is, how do you wake people up? And the obvious answer is, any way you can.
By being
everybody's got a trigger, okay? Some people don't like religion, so you can wake them up to conspiracies around that. Child trafficking within religious sects and how cults brainwash and mind control people. That's the thing about the New World Order conspiracy, is that because it's all-encompassing, you only need to expose one conspiracy that people are naturally, sycophantically wanting to believe anyway. And as long as you find that vein that they appreciate, that they like, or whatever, that rabbit hole will continue deeper and deeper. And suddenly, once they get to the bottom of that rabbit hole of that one conspiracy, suddenly everything opens up. And you've done your job of waking them up. But you weren't the one who woke them up. They were ultimately the ones who woke themselves up. Okay? You can't wake anybody up. But I mean, how much research did you, as a person, as a listener, as whoever's watching this right now, how much work did you personally have to do in order to feel qualified as being woken up? A hell of a lot. Now, can I ask you, do you think you'd be able to impart that much knowledge that you've had imparted to you to anybody at any point ever? No, it's impossible. They have to go and seek it for themselves.
No, it is. It is for those that want to know, and for those that want to know, they'll go and do it. And it's a journey you take on your own. And it's a journey through a maze that doesn't have the same route for everybody. You, whatever it is that you're interested in, you'll get attracted to. The internet is nothing but a web of deceit and lies. But through discernment and perseverance and focus, you do get there if you want to get there. You don't get there. You don't get there if you don't. That doesn't make sense. I know. Tell me, Vinny. We'll come back to this after the break, but I want to ask you.
There is no break. This is the end of it. So quickly ask the question, I'll answer it.
What was your first emotion, proper emotion, after anger when you woke up?
Depression.
Would you say a sadness, a loss, a grief?
Yeah.
Would you call it a mourning?
Yeah.
In New Zealand, what do you call the reception after a funeral?
A wake.
Okay. Yeah, and it's a period of mourning.
Mm.
And when you wake up every day, what's the first thing you see when you open your eyes? Mourning.
Yeah.
The connections are all there, you know. It's just a matter of working out what they are.
All right. I think that's a good, nice, positive place to leave it. Critical Mass Radio, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Paul Vickers. And we'll see you again sometime, folks. Join us in the chat room if you want to join the Skype call after the show right now.